Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad to see that there is still people sticking around. Thank you. I am one before the last, so I'm going to talk about the effect of cropping systems on water use and yield of corn and soybeans in Minnesota, actually. As you probably, most of you know, it's pretty wet over there. First, I would like to thank Jeff Stock, who kindly agreed to share this data with me. Well, basically, I have a couple of news for you. One is good, the other is not very good. The good one is that, as you can see in that graph, which is a pretty simple graph I did by putting the data from the USDA NASS, our yield is still increasing. You can see there over time we've gone from a little bit less than 3,000 kilograms per hectare to actually close to 12,000 kilograms per hectare. This is for conditions in Minnesota only. And obviously because technology and several other things, the rate of that growth has been changing over time. The important thing is that it looks like we are still having some room for increasing our yields. In this case, this is for corn. But with some differences in the slope, let's say for soybeans, it's quite similar. We're still growing. But there is always a limit. So where is that limit? But the bad news is that our limiting factor eventually might be water. As you can see there, from some of our preliminary research, we know already that therefore conditions in southwest Minnesota, we need around 650 millimeters of water to produce between 11 and 12,000 kilograms of corn, grain corn per hectare, which is more or less a water use efficiency of 2 kilograms per cubic meter. Okay, so farmers actually say that they would like to have the 300 bushels per acre, which is around 19 kilograms per hectare. So to do that, which is probably possible, we will need to go from more or less 650 to 700 millimeters of water to close to 940. So what happens is that in Minnesota, as you can see in the far northwestern part of the state, we receive more or less between 400 to 500 millimeters. In the southeastern part of the state, we receive around 900. So basically, we will need much more water, generally speaking, if we want to produce more. So we are dealing in our research with sustainable intensification. So the question we have is, would it be possible to produce more if the water is going to be the limiting factor eventually? If so, what we can do in order to try to have more water in our system? So obviously there are other factors we can do. We can work with our cropping systems to try to resolve that issue, because actually we would like to have practices that meet the demand for food and clean environment, which is a challenge for producers. So we look for production systems that aim at enhancing resources use efficiency. We talk a lot about that. So that means actually that we have to intensify those cropping systems. And there are several ways we can do it. One of those is to cultivate more than one crop in the same field, or just, practice extended rotations, right? So, what happened here? So, at my station in the southwestern part of the state, we had a long-term experimental research there that actually was terminated this year, but it was run from 1989 to 2015. And I will talk a little bit more about what was done there in a minute. And we decided starting in 2013, to monitor soil moisture in the profile and also to try to monitor root growth for the different crops we have there, and then run a water balance and see how much water those crops might be using and whether or not the different cropping systems we had there in that experiment will eventually help us to retain more water in this system. So that's what we did. The objectives of this specific talk today was to determine the water use and water use efficiency of corn and soybeans grown under contrasting cropping practices, and that's what I'm going to show next time for you. And for those who are not from here, basically what you see there in the central point there is where we are located. And our experiment looked something like that. It was a really big experiment, more or less 16 hectares. So this is what we had. We had, for this study, we had two different rotations. One is the conventional one, corn and soybean rotation, and the other one was a four-way rotation, which was oat, alfalfa, alfalfa again in the second year, and then corn in the fourth year would be soybean, and then start again. So, because, and I would like to clarify you before I go forward, because of the complexity of trying to look at that combination of oat, alfalfa, I did not show the results we have for that. I have them, but I need to double check at that. So I am not showing the oat, alfalfa, and alfalfa component, and I decided just to show you the corn and soybean rotation. Anyway, so what we did was, for the corn soybean, the two-year rotation, we use high external inputs, which basically means we use the amount of fertilizer that is recommended for to producers for high yielding. In the four-year rotation, we use that high external input as well, and we had another treatment which was organic input, and we had, along with that, a prairie, natural prairie, to compare our results in terms of soil moisture and water use. Because we will run a water field water balance, we wanted to know how deep the root of those crops would go. So we would make sure that we are running our water balance in a proper way. So what we did was we used the wind rizo system to analyze the growth of roots in a vertical way. Basically, we determined the root length density, which is provided in kilometers of root per cubic meter of soil. So the procedure is pretty simple, but it's actually hard work. You take a soil core, and then you divide that soil core in different layers, and you process that, and then you analyze it. Let's say it's straightforward, but it's a lot of work. But we did that. Anyway. Also, we did install 5DM sensors, which are from Decagon. It's not a propaganda, actually. At different depths in the profile, and we use just one rep in each treatment. And the reason why we do that is because we decided to go and try to look at the water dynamics in the soil profile in that type of soil in the southwest Minnesota instead of having different replications. And because we were quite confident that after more than 25 years running that long-term study, that might be okay. So we gave preference to going as deep as possible instead of repeating, and then also, obviously, there are always budgetary limitations. So the sensors were connected to a CR1000 data logger, which is from Campbell Scientific, and the data were recorded at every 15 minutes interval. So basically, these are the only equations that we show you, but what I'm saying is that we did consider the in and outs of the water. We did not consider drainage, though, and we did not consider a runoff. Actually, our plots are pretty flat, so runoff could be neglected. And then we calculated the water use, which was, for us, equivalent to the amount of water that the crops, in this case, corn and soybeans, were using. And we validated the results from our water balance with the FAO 56 Pema-Montith equation using the single crop coefficient approach. Okay, we did that for 3 years, 13, 14, and 15. This is how those 3 years look like. Basically, as you can see there, and I wanted to show you here. Let me see if I can move here the... Basically, you can see here that we were a little bit, first, we were a little bit drier than normal during the months of June, July, and part of August. And we also were and have been a little bit colder than normal during those years. Well, it turns out when we get to be drier than normal is when the crop needs more water. That's basically the message I wanted to give with this figure. When it comes to roots, this is what we got. What you can see here is the comparison of the root distribution for corn and soybeans with what we have from the prairie. It's astonishing, actually, because you can see that on top, you can have as much as more than 60 kilometers per cubic meter of soil, of roots from the prairie. While for soybeans and corn, it varies between 4, 5 to around 12, 13. And obviously, as you go down in the soil profile, you will have less roots. But importantly, you can see as well that more or less the roots tend to converge at 150 centimeters. But another thing is that most of the root activity is at within 1 meter of the soil profile. So we had that. So we have our results, and this is what we got. You can see here, I'm showing you just for the sake of time, for the four-year rotation here, how it looks like. Basically, the green is the prairie. The blue one is the four-year rotation corn with high external inputs, and the red one is the organic one. So very, very interesting, actually, because you can see that for the green one here, the prairie was depleting more water in the profile than, for example, the red one here, which is the four-year rotation corn, alfalfa or corn or soybeans as well. So, but this is the thing. We had some problems with some of the sensors, and we needed to change them. So that provide us another level of error. So we needed to do something to analyze the data. So what we did was, first, we checked for normality using the Kolmogorov-Smirnov, the Kramer-von-Mises, and the Anderson-Darling, and they were not non-normal, actually. So, and because those changes in some of the sensors as well, we decided to standardize the data. So we standardized the data using the Z-score procedure, which is basically a ratio between a given data and minus the average divided by the standard deviation. So basically, we compare all the data with the standard deviation, and then we run the Kolmogorov-Smirnov two samples test and compare the cumulative function, distribution functions between the different treatments we had. So, for example, here for corn, you can see here we compare the organic corn with the prairie, and basically what we can see is that for each one of those curves you can see in this part, the differences are significant. So, and so on. Well, I'm not going to get into those details. I'm going to show you what happened with the two-year rotation. It's similar to that. We process the same way. And you can see here, when we compare the corn with the prairie, there are significant differences all the way in the profile. Similarly, when we compare the four-year rotation with the two-year rotation, for corn, we had no differences, but we found differences with soybeans. Then, obviously, these are the yields. I put into those squares the yields for corn and soybeans, which are the ones that are the most important for us today. And we found significant differences between the different treatments we had. Well, I have two more slides, I promise. This is the water used for the corn and soybeans. And you can see here that this is the comparison of the water use that we obtain from the water balance against the water use we obtain with the Pemmick-Montith equation. There is a very good correlation, so we were confident that our field water balance was okay. So you can see here that on average for corn, we got more or less 600 millimeters, and for soybean 500 plus. And in 2014 was similar as well, and in 2015 we got a little bit more than that. So when we look at the water productivity or water use efficiency, again, we compare that water productivity we obtain using the water balance and the ET Pemmick-Montith, and we had a very good correlation. And the results show us that basically there are no differences between one treatment and the other within a crop. Anyway. So our conclusions are that among cropping systems, soil moisture was significantly different at most depths. regardless of the rotation and the input, the soil water depletion and the crop water use follow the pattern of alfalfa use more water than corn, which in turn uses more water than the oat alfalfa and then the soybean at the end. Our results, however, did not support our hypothesis that the differences in water use and water use efficiency may exist due to cropping practices. And for conditions in southwest Minnesota, the average water use of corn and soybeans was found to be 550 and around 500 for respectively, and that the water use for from the prairie was a little bit more than 600 millimeters. So that's what we did. We continue doing the work, and so we start looking at how supplemental irrigation might help us to increase our corn and soybean yields in that part of the state. Thank you.